lot going on. If you will turn your Bibles back to 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to get just a few minutes we have left. After the business we had, we're running short, so we'll get in the next 20, 25 minutes on this. In 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to just read our text scripture, which is verse 4, is where we're at tonight. And verse 4 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Lord gives us different things in our lives to do as Christians, as church workers, as ministers. God, isn't He wonderful? He not only plans it all out, but He executes it all. The more you learn about God, the more you start to understand the dealings and workings He has in your life, the more honor and glory you have for Him. The more you want to work for Him, the more you want to do for Him, the more you want to learn about Him. We're about to get ready to start a church study. I ordered like 10 more books on it. And the reason I did is because I want to know everything I can about the church. I may be on it the rest of my ministry here. Church is so important. It is the seminary for Christians to learn about the Lord, to appreciate the Lord our God, to appreciate the Lord our Savior, to appreciate the Lord the Holy Spirit, to appreciate our God, and to understand. Most people don't understand God and how He works. And the more we understand about Him and the effects He has on our life, the more we just want to fall on our faces before Him and say, "Thank you, Lord." Amen. So we need to remember that these gifts are of the Holy Spirit. And now we learn that they are diversely distributed. We preach, and sometimes Bible conferences, preachers ask me if I go to their church, you know, I ask them if there's any kind of a theme, if I haven't been there before. I know Oakdale never has a theme, neither do we. I don't believe in themes. Isn't it beautiful when we have every Bible conference we had, and we've had 15 or 16 of them? I think we've had 16. But isn't it wonderful every time how the messages fall in line together? That's not me. That's not the preachers. That's God. God knows what we need as a church. Sometimes things are set to feed the church certain things. But God can take care of that. We don't need to. I don't know what you need. God does. God gives us the things we need as He sees fit to give it to us. We don't all get the same thing. We get different things in life. And what God causes us to believe, teaches us to understand, is His will. John Gill had these words, which on this subject of verse 4, "which sprang up from free grace and goodwill and pleasure of God." Isn't that true? "And are not owing to the merits of men." It has nothing to do with us. It's what God wants for us. It's what God wants to give us. It's what God wants to teach us. Me, Larry, Justin, Frank, Ronnie, and all you ladies. God teaches us those things, and our eagerness to learn is the eagerness of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. I've got a burning desire within me to do a church study. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I'm not a great historian of the church. Brother Rowe can walk circles around me, but he walks circles around most people. But you wait till I get there and see what God does with it. He said, Gill goes on to say, and therefore such who have the largest share of them should not boast of them. That's mankind and some preachers and some Christians' biggest problem in life is a boast of God's gift to them. How many of us can boast of our salvation? None of us. Because we know by the simplest of simples that God saved our souls. Well, he also taught you everything you've learned. So, well, I studied hard. I worked hard. So have I. I've been doing this for 40 years. And I'm still not very smart at it. But I am what God wants me to be. And that's what Brother Gill's saying here. No man has a right to boast. I guarantee you Charles Haddon Spurgeon never boasted. He was so good, so brilliant, that here we are in the 21st century still quoting him. There's probably not anybody in history that Christians, especially Baptists, have quoted more regularly, more strongly, and just desired to learn from than Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I said it before, I'll say it again. He would probably be dumbfounded to know that we're still quoting him these day and times. So, man should not boast of their gifts. It's all gifts, isn't it? Sure, we work hard. Why do we work hard? Why do you come to church? Why do you learn? Because the Holy Spirit put you here. So you should not boast as acquired by themselves, because it wasn't, he says, or be puffed up on the account of them, and those who have the smallest measure should be content and thankful. I am. I mean, compared to a lot of preachers I know, they're up here and I'm way down here. You know what? I'm proud of every truth I know. I'm proud every time I'm able to get in the pulpit and preach God's word. I don't think of myself as anything but little bitty. Never will. Because that's where I'm at. But thank God I'm there. Look where I could be. Lost and without Jesus and without the church and without God and without anything Christian about me on my way to hell. The Lord's always told us to be content in whatever state he's put us. These gifts from God, I've heard Christians complain. Why does these members get this and do this and able to do these things and we're not? Shame. Shame. Everything is a gift from God. Everything. Everything. Every bit of knowledge, every bit of understanding, every bit of money, every bit of power, everything. I stand in this pulpit tonight because God put me here. I still don't understand. So we Brother Gill says we ought to be content and thankful. For though the gifts are different, some have greater, some have lesser, none have all. But all have some. Yet not alike. It's exactly right, not alike. God gives us gifts as He wants us to have them, and that's our knowledge and understanding and abilities. Look at men. We're able to run the church. We're able to serve in the Lord's church. We're able to be deacons. We're able to be song leaders. We're able to be finance directors. We're treasurers. We're able to be clerks. We're able to be pastors. Women have none of this opportunity. None. Thank God if you serve the Lord and the house of God in any capacity. Don't ever take your abilities or your appointments or your opportunities in life to serve the Lord our God lightly. God gave you that appointment and that ability to serve Him in His church. Amen. He didn't give me ability to sing. I can't sing. I try, I can't do it. Every time I do, Justin looks at me and just like he sees a lemon. No, he really don't. He's too kind for that. I say what Brother Hammond used to call solo. Solo, you can't hear me. But I do sing. You know who does hear? The Lord hears. And you know what? While all of y'all might like eat lemons, the Lord's glad. The Lord's proud. He's my daddy. He's my father. Fathers are always proud of their children, aren't they? What a great God we have. Learning the scriptures is a gift of God. Lord said over in James, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. But the thing about learning the scriptures, who are we learning them from? Well, you'll learn some from me. You'll learn some from Brother Wilson. You'll learn some from Brother Henson. You'll learn some from Brother O'Neill. And I'm not saying any of these brethren don't know what they're talking about. All of them better than I am at it. None of them are perfect. Just because someone preaches something you don't understand or you might not agree with, don't be harsh with them. If you know the truth and you know it to be true, it's like salvation. One thing we all do know here is salvation because we're all saved, aren't we? You realize how many people in this world don't even know that Jesus Christ died for them? If they're elect of God, that's what I'm saying. You didn't know that before you were saved. You didn't understand that before you were saved. The simplest thing in the world to understand is look both ways before you cross the street or you get hit by a car. Or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart or you're going to go to hell. People can understand the crossing the street. They can't understand the believing on Jesus Christ. Can't get it. Why? Why not? Well, God told us why, didn't He? It's foolishness to them. What we teach at this church, what we believe in the Bible, is foolishness to the world. It's foolishness to Armenians, them that call themselves Christians is foolishness. God sovereign. Who ever heard of such a thing? Or, oh yeah, I believe in God is sovereign. Come and make your decision today. And I've heard them, when they get their invitation, stand up and say, well, won't you come forward this morning and bring your decision with you? Well, sure. I got it right here. I'm going to come up there and see you with it. What? Stupidity. But it's not to them. It's true to them. You know why? Because God hasn't taught them the truth. Wait a minute, that's my fan. God hasn't taught them the truth. They don't understand. So our learning the scriptures is a gift from God by the way of the Holy Spirit. The true meaning of the scriptures is unattainable without the Holy Spirit teaching you. Let me say this. And I mean every word of it. People don't like it, I'm sorry. You will never understand one ounce of Scripture if the Holy Spirit doesn't teach it to you. Why do you think the Lord means when He talks about diversity of learning the Scripture? He's talking about among the brothers and sisters. John 14, if you will. Remember when Jesus was going to be crucified? Jesus was instructing the church what to do. This is the reason I've always been critical of the church picking Matthias to be a 12th apostle when Jesus Christ picked Apostle Paul to be the 12th apostle. I don't believe in my heart, and I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, it's no big deal. But I don't believe Matthias was actually an apostle. He never did anything. There's no recording of him doing anything. The church was told by Jesus, the head of the church was told by Jesus, when Jesus was right before he was crucified, to hold up and not do anything. In John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. What's he going to teach them? The Holy Spirit's going to teach them all things. He's going to teach them exactly what they need to know. Because Jesus did it before, didn't he? See, the Holy Spirit's always taught people. You know, Jesus was the teacher, the Holy Spirit teaching people. Holy Spirit's always been with people. And the reason I know that is because he inspired the entire Word of God. Every word written in your Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So he was with Moses, Samuel, all the writers of the scriptures. The Holy Spirit inspired every one of them. It means he breathed the words to them. And they penned them. It's just like John. Remember John when he was caught up into the third heaven? And he saw the book of Revelations carried out from chapter 4 on. when John was caught up and he saw the whole Revelation played out. The tribulation, Battle of Armageddon, the millennial period, and all these things. John wrote what he saw. These men wrote what the Holy Spirit told them to write. You learn, and the reason I know I'm right It's because we don't all believe the same. We're close, aren't we? And some of us do believe the same. I would venture to say there's very little difference between me and my wife. And the main reason for that is we study together. We work together. We go to church together. Probably the same with you and your wife. So he says, the Father will send in my name, talking about the Holy Spirit, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Sure, he's going to bring scripture. Jesus talked scripture. That every word Jesus said was scripture if he wanted it to be. He is the Word of God. Nehemiah 9. But he said that Father is going to send the Holy Spirit and he's going to teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance of what I said. You're not going to learn it on your own. You can't self-educate. Only a fool will self-educate themselves. I got 5 minutes. Let me get to this Nehemiah chapter 9. We are like the Israelites in the wilderness as Christians, totally dependent upon the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19, he says, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of a cloud departed not from them day by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them the light and the way wherein they should go. That's who we are. Yes, these are the Israelites. Yes, they're in the wilderness. Yes, they depended upon the Lord. They never were grateful to the Lord for what he did, but they depended upon the Lord. That's what we do. And he's got that pillar of light. And even in the nighttime, it's shining and it's leading us and guiding us in the direction God wants us to go. Goes on, says, thou givest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withholdest not thy manna from their mouth, and givest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years did thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing, their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Why? Because of God. That's us, folks. That's us today. We are just dependent upon the Lord. And not only are we dependent upon the Lord is doing what he promised us he would do. He's taking care of us in every part of our lives spiritually and unspiritually. The Lord is taking care of us. So you thank God. I know you do. But you thank God for everything God does for you. Every day you thank God for every ounce of scripture you understand. Every time you see something in the scriptures, I forgot about that. You thank God that the Holy Spirit brought that to your remembrance. And he said, I already showed that to you once, and here it is again. And when we understand what God's doing for us, we understand what we owe the Lord. That's pretty. We'll pick up with that again on